It's like everybody's jovial and busy talking and have a lot on their mind, but we need to get this meeting underway, so we'll begin our study session of Thursday, June 18th. First, with a review of the agenda items for our Monday meeting on the 22nd. So, beginning with page 2. Anything that anyone wants to review? All right, page 3. Go ahead.
Vice Mayor, on item number 5 for the city attorney, do we have to take these individually or we can take action collectively?
You can take them collectively after the public hearing.
Right.
If you want to go forward and take one vote for all of them, you can do that.
I would be fine with that if everybody has. Yeah.
That will depend on what happens that evening. If anybody
Absolutely.
Wants to pull any of them.
What we would do is after the public hearing, see if Kevin will come back up and read those as a consent item.
Right.
Okay. That works.
All right then. Page 4. Page 5.
Vice Mayor.
Yes.
Item 10E.
All right.
It's a ARF question. Don't love that word, ARF. Aircraft rescue firefighting. Anybody here? No? Okay, we can just pull it off the... No, I was just kidding. I just had a general question. Yeah, they're expensive. But this ARF vehicle that's at Falcon has always been at Falcon?
Councilmember Higgins and members of the council, yes, it has always been at Falcon since probably the early 80s.
So, how often does this get used? It doesn't go off airport property because the fire stations where this is housed backs right out onto the airport.
If it's needed, if we need a foam unit on an incident anywhere in the city, yes, we would take it off the airport property, and we do.
So, I just wondered, how does it get used a lot? Because, we're not taking it out of service. We're putting it as a backup. So then, of course, my question is, well, why do we really have to replace it? Because it's really expensive.
Yes, the vehicle, Councilmember Higgins, the vehicle meets all the required criteria for a replacement cycle. It is a 1991 unit. It is 18 years old. FAA recommendations are that ARF trucks have a service life of 10 years. We've certainly gone well beyond that, and we would certainly expect an ARF vehicle to last longer than 10 years as well. Our goal here is to replace the vehicle, put a newer, updated unit in service, and pull Foam 208 out as a reserve unit to go between the two airports that we operate here in Mesa now.
And do you know, this is a more of a finance question, do you know, I found another. Do you know where it says here in the report that the backup one currently that's at Gateway is
yes.
going to be sold? Do you know where the proceeds are that? Do they go back into the fire replacement truck fund?
No, they will not. Foam 225 is a Gateway unit. It was a unit that was transferred to us by the military.
Okay.
It's a 1989 unit. And to be honest with you, that vehicle should have been pulled out of service about the time we received it from the military.
And is there a long, and this probably isn't for you, but is there a long-term plan where the Falcon Field will be paying for this type of vehicle instead of coming out of the general Mesa firefighter bonds?
We've reviewed the issue of a cost center for Falcon Field. The information has been filed, but we haven't taken any steps as a city to go that direction.
Okay. Oh, someone else is moving.
Morning, Council. Councilmember Higgins. We had taken a look at this in the long-term plan as far as Falcon Field. As you probably are aware, Falcon Field does pay for fire protection. Currently, there was an agreement with the fire department and Falcon Field and the rest of the city to offset charges that are incurred for personnel that stand by for Falcon Field protection.
Okay.
So as far as long-term, it's not in our short-range budget for budgeting for our replacement.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on then to page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Alex, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to approach this as a full disclosure. Last night I was reading through, and item 11M talks about the purchase of vacant land. As I understand, that land is coming from the Freeman family, or there's going to be a purchase from the Freeman family. I do business with one of the sons of the Freemans. I have no involvement specifically with the people that will be purchasing this property. So I just wanted to disclose that. I talked to the city attorney. She mentioned that she believes that I don't have a conflict of interest, but for the sake of just having it out there, so in case there's any questions, my activity with the Freeman family, who are farmers, is down in Pinal County and has nothing to do with this this activity. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Just put it out.
Thank you.
I was hoping to get some more information on item 11J on the investments in the local government investment pool. Chris, I thought quite a few years ago there was some scandal with that. The pool lost quite a bit of money. Could you ease my fears again on that and talk about what this investment is?
Vice Mayor, Council Member Summers, this is really a methodology for the Aviation Grant Fund to take money out of the local government investment pool.
Taking out.
Right, under our authorization. We place our investments with the state in the local government investment pool. Years ago, you are right, the city lost several million dollars, as well as many other cities who were invested in the LGIP in one of their multiple investment areas. All the municipalities pulled out of those municipal that one investment option and have gone to a different investment option with the LGIP that has shorter maturities and only invests in U.S. securities or U.S. government securities. So in order to protect our assets in that. So that, but this
is just problem solved, and this one is to remove money for an aviation fund?
Yeah, this is just a funding arrangement for them to fund that project.
And this is a requirement of the grant. This Correct. Isn't a choice of the city. This is something we're being required to do in order to access these dollars.
Okay. This is how you will do it.
This is how we will do it.
How we
well, that's fine. I saw it. Every time I see LGIP, I keep remembering that story. And
it brings up bad memories.
And I just need to be talked down. All right. Thank you.
All right. Anything else on page 8 then? Page 9? Page 10? Scott?
Vice Mayor, could we remove item 10D from the consent?
12D.
12D. Tomato tomorrow.
All right. 12D will be removed from the consent. Anything else there? Page 11. All right. Then Councilor Higgins had a question from an earlier page.
Yes, Vice Mayor. Page 8, item 10I. I think it's kind of a Brian question. Had a question when it's the Magma Gas Service, and it says to be paid for by the gas bond program. Mm-hmm. Are gas bonds paid back out of revenue from
yes.
the gas? Okay. The gas yes. department.
Yes, all of our utility revenue bonds that we sell annually are reimbursed and paid for. The stream of revenue we pledge to pay that is the utilities. So water goes to water utilities, wastewater, gas, et cetera.
Great. Thanks.
All right.
I just want to give council heads up that the mayor has requested that an item be added to the June 22nd agenda. What the item will be is a proclamation supporting the City of Chicago's bid for bringing the 2016 Olympics to Chicago. He was asked to bring this forward along with many of the other cities across the country, and as he was at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, they were asking the U.S. cities to support the Chicago bid. We felt like certainly with our ties with the Chicago Cubs, and the fact that Chicago is also the only North American city that is, I guess, in this final pool or final group that is being considered for the Olympics. So that will be added. It's not on the agenda today. But we'll be adding that along with the proclamation, which is just promoting the Olympic movement and the selection of Chicago as a city. So
okay,
you'll see that later in your packet this afternoon.
And with that, the mayor has been attending the U.S. Conference of Mayors and is now having some very much needed and deserved R&R, and we excuse him this morning.
Yes.
So Phoenix didn't make it to the shortlist on the Summer Olympics?
All right.
There we go. Vice Mayor, just wanted to highlight for some folks, item 13C, Fire Station 219 is on site plan approval. I've had some inquiries from my district about when that station might be constructed and wanted to let them know that
We're on our way.
It's on its way.
Very good. All right, then next, agenda item two, discuss and provide direction on the proposed audit plan for fiscal year 2009-2010.
Morning, Vice Mayor and Council. My name is Gary Ray, City Auditor. I have with me Jennifer Rutman, Senior Internal Auditor. We presented this audit plan to the Audit and Finance Committee on May 28th, and they recommended it be brought to the study session, and we're here to answer any questions, or Jennifer will present the audit plan to you if you so desire.
All right. Any questions from council members on the audit plan of what we're looking forward to this coming year? Seeing no questions, then do we have direction to proceed? Anyone in opposition to that?
Huh? No, Vice Mayor. I think we've sat down. The Audit and Finance Committee have gone over this with staff, and we're comfortable that we have a very good audit plan for the year. We're looking at not only fiscal issues, but also improvement of processes, which are one of our, what, you as Assistant City Auditor, Pro Tem Auditor Extraordinaire, Auditor Extraordinaire, we're going with that one.
There you go.
She's done a wonderful job over the last year, particularly that I've been in charge of that particular committee in identifying processes that will help save money and time and effort. We have it's a long list. It's a distinguished list of things to audit, and among them, we're going to be keeping an eye on stimulus dollars to make sure that we're following the rules and not getting ourselves into too many strings attached. So if there are no questions, I hope we'll go ahead and approve that.
All right. Do we need a motion or just direction?
As long as we have direction from the council, move forward.
We'll general consensus, so okay. We will then move on to item three. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that would be hearing a presentation to discuss and provide direction on site selection for the West Mesa Park and Ride lot. So Dan and Mike, give us an overview here. All of us have had a pretty good feel of what we're dealing with here, so let's have our discussion and see where we go.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I'll jump right in. As you know, eight sites were originally considered for a park and ride lot in the West Mesa area, in the area bounded by Mesa Drive, Elma School, Southern, and Baseline. The sites were evaluated on several criteria, so we narrowed them down to two now. Both sites very suitable. The locations are Mesa Drive and Baseline, which we call Site 5, and Country Club in Juanita, called Site 6. Both will easily meet the expected demand of 257 stalls identified for a future regional demand. Also, during this evaluation period, as we considered these sites, we were awarded $9.4 million in federal stimulus dollars for this project. That gives us some added flexibility. So our intent with the park and ride lots is to provide access to transit throughout the city. We have two existing park and ride lots today. Those are at Superstition Springs Mall area and then at the Main and Sycamore Center. We have two park and ride lots in design, and I'll show you a map in just a minute. Those are at Gilbert and McDowell, and another one at Power Road and Loop 202. And we expect future locations sometime in the future in the Gateway area. But today we're primarily talking about the West Mesa site selection. Our goal here is to leverage that $9.4 million of what we call ERA funding or stimulus dollars to try to build three lots, actually not just this one. Here's a map showing the existing locations. If you look the green boxes, you'll see the two I mentioned, the existing sites labeled 1 and 2. To the north, you'll see 3 and 4. Those are currently in design right now. And then in the red box are sites 5 and 6 being considered today. Again, I mentioned the $9.4 million from stimulus dollars. We also have $3.8 million in CMAQ funding, or Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Funds. Any unused dollars from these two pots of money could be used to cascade, really, to the other park and ride lots.
Okay. Councilman Richards has a question
for
you.
Just a quick question. If we purchase this property with federal dollars, what's, say down the road, this park and ride
lot is underutilized or not needed anymore. What strings are attached to the disposition?
Change the use?
Yeah, say we don't need it as a park and ride anymore, and we want to sell the property. Can we? How does that all work?
Mike, do you have an answer to that?
If we use federal money for that, we would need to return the investment that the federal government put into that back to the feds. They do charge interest, too. So Tempe's seen that with their park and ride structure, actually, at McClintock and Main Street. They had to actually go back, pay the federal government back, plus some interest.
So even if we used it, we bought it, we built it, we used it for, say we used it for 10 years, and we needed it was no longer utilized. If we sold it and then gave it back, we'd have to pay the money back with interest.
That's correct.
Okay, on to site selection. We need to...
Yes, Mayor. How long do we have to use it for? It can't possibly be in perpetuity.
I don't know directly. We'd have to research that and look into that.
All right, can we find out?
Okay.
There's got to be a time frame. There should be a time frame. All right.
Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor. There are several deadlines associated with this project to receive the federal dollars. We need to get environmental clearance by mid-September of this year. We need to complete design by January 2010 and expect to start construction by March 2010. And again, we've narrowed down the sites to these two. Let me just spend just a minute to show you what's in the area of these two sites. Here's the first one at Mesa Drive and Baseline, called Site 5. I'll start kind of at the top and use my cursor here and show you what's in the area. We've got Birch Ford up here near the northeast corner. We've got some the Curry Center in this area. This is law offices. We've got a variety of light industrial and retail businesses to the east of the site. One thing I'd like to point out on the east line of this site is the old Mesa Drive alignment that runs north-south. You can see there's some improvements to the north here for several hundred feet, which needs to be maintained and provide access to Juanita here. However, this portion down here is unpaved, unimproved, and we've got a number of things going on in the right-of-way there, which I'll discuss shortly. Over on this, on the west side of Mesa Drive, we have a vacant AM/PM at this corner, a used car lot north of there, a car lot, which I believe is not operational, a car wash here. It's not operational any longer. We've got the United Food Bank north of there. This whole area over here is the county court complex, the southeast complex. We've got the motor vehicle department in this area and a series of office space up here utilized right now. Right in the middle of this site is the Quick Trip. Right here, that's kind of carved out here, but you can see this is a fairly large site with kind of a little bit of an irregular shape there. On to the next slide. This is the other site, Country Club in Juanita, more rectangular in shape. You'll see it's located approximately the same distance from the freeway, which is important as the other site. Land use in this area, again, I'll start in the northeast corner and work down. We've got Empire Machinery north of Juanita and east of Country Club Drive. South of that, we've got several restaurants and a gas station. We've got Walmart off to the side over here, some automotive services down here, a Jiffy Lube and a brake shop. On the west side of Country Club, we've got
a drugstore.
We've got a series of restaurants up here. We've got the medical complex right here. This one, I guess this is the Circle K.
That's drugstore.
I'm sorry, that's the wall. That's the drugstore. You're right. I'm sorry.
Circle K is up the top there on the right.
We've got a Fry's shopping center over here, the city-owned retention basin just west of the proposed park and ride lot. We have quite a bit of industrial and employee centers, if you will, west of the site and north of the site in this area. So that just kind of gives you a little look at what's near each of these sites. I'll turn it over to Mike to talk about some of the more detailed site issues and some dollars and some costs we expect to encounter.
Good morning. Moving on to the size of the properties, in our best and final offers, we received some specific acreages for purchase. At the Mesa Drive and Baseline, the land area was 7.91 acres. But the property owners also provided an option to carve out a commercial corner if we so wished to do that. So we could retain a retail commercial corner on that site if we so wished. That would also reduce the cost of the property and probably the development cost for building the park and ride. Country Club in Juanita, we're looking at about 7.08 acres at that site. The land costs that came in our best and final offers, Mesa Drive and Baseline, came in at a cost of $10.50 per square foot with some additional costs, about $63,000 to remove two billboards on site. The Country Club in Juanita was a little bit less in at $10 a square foot. Dan really just walked through the area attributes with some of the employment and commercial opportunities at the two sites, so I won't hit that. Both sites did clear their phase one environmental, so we're ready to move forward in that arena. Next slide.
Just wait, let him finish. You're going to wait. Hold tight, Dave.
Moving on to infill opportunities, the Mesa Drive and Baseline provides an opportunity to infill a difficult site to develop. Park and Ride could be a good use there. As I mentioned earlier, the commercial corner could be carved out and retained for commercial uses. As we say in the infill opportunity, because of the existing commercial and development in the area, it's an easier site to develop, likely to be developed with all the activity we're seeing in the area. A couple constructability issues. These are just to be noted, nothing that can't be overcome. But at the Mesa Drive and Baseline site, there are some grade changes, some fill that would have to go into that area. And as I mentioned earlier, it's an irregular shaped lot. Country Club in Juanita, as you've seen, it's flat, relatively easy site to develop.
Vice Mayor, if I could just go back, I don't think I did a very good job on the Mesa Drive. On the alignment over here, that old Mesa Drive, what I failed to mention was there's some encroachments into our right-of-way there. This is not a very attractive area. It's something that we are very interested in cleaning up. That's something that couldn't be done within the scope of this project, but we would anticipate kind of a phase two maybe cleanup. So there's power poles and a utility ditch along here and some issues that we are very interested in cleaning up. Mike mentioned just briefly about carving out a portion of this lot. It's actually a little bit bigger than we need. He's talking about this corner down here, right near the arterial baseline and Mesa Drive down in this area, just so to clarify that.
Okay, moving on. Some of the facility costs, and I do want to make a note that these costs are costs per our design concept report, and they include the cost for developing out the full site. So you can see the Mesa Drive and Baseline, about $4.3 million. Country Club, $2.6 million. So, again, if we reduce the size of Mesa Drive, that facility cost could come down. The cost here, the best and final right-of-way costs from our letters, the Mesa Drive and Baseline is the $10.50 plus the cost to remove the two billboards at 3.6 there, and then the Country Club at $10 per square foot, about 3.082 million. If you add up the facility cost and the right-of-way for the entire site, you can see the land and construction cost comparison there in bold, about 8 million versus about 5.7 million, leaving a remainder of the ARRA funding as you see at the bottom of the page there. With that,
okay, we have a host of questions. Dave, yeah, go ahead.
Can I just summarize real quickly, if you don't mind? Because we haven't really laid out a staff recommendation, so let me do that right now. The good news here, Council, is we have two sites that can work for Park and Ride. We're comfortable that whatever Council, we'd like to get Council direction today
so we can move forward to begin initiating a contract for a site after today's meeting that will come on the, I think we're shooting for the July 1st agenda. We need to get it done before council goes on break. So our goal is to get to July 1st. As we look at both these sites, and we've spent a lot of time looking at it, there's been a lot of discussion. We know there's been a lot of interest from a lot of different parties. The way we look at it is the country club site is the easiest for construction. It's easiest for us to, from a timing perspective, there's little less risk as far as being able to develop out the site. It's the cleanest site from historical perspective and any other encroachments or intrusions that might be there. So that site meets that criteria very well, and I think it would be the easiest one to accomplish. It is also most likely, as we look at that area, and obviously it hasn't happened yet, we do think at some point it's more likely that that site could be developed outside of what the city might do. So that's the country club site. On the Mesa Drive site, as we've been talking a little bit about the old Mesa Drive alignment, why that's important is there has been a proposal to include that right-of-way as part of the overall park and ride development and to include additional parking spaces on that right-of-way. As we've looked at it, we've come to the conclusion that that would not be a very prudent idea. Just because there's a lot of, as was mentioned, we already have encroachments from property owners who have built in that right-of-way. We have SRP, open irrigation canals. We have power lines. So what we're going to, if we were to move forward, if council were to choose that site, we would not submit that portion moving forward through all the approvals we have to get with ADOT and moving those forward. But we would create that as a separate project that we would do outside of this funding. It's important, I think, the city's all, but we need to go in there and clean it up. We need to make it work with the adjacent property owners. And it's really impractical to try to use that alignment with the fact that a lot of those property owners today, whether it's the paved section or the unpaved section, are using that for access to the back of their properties. If we were to develop out that site, we need to sit down and work with those property owners to work on improving that right-of-way and really making it look better and work better. The Mesa Drive site has certainly more issues. It's got billboards. It has some, there's an environmental assessment that's been done. There were some environmental issues that were mitigated in the past. Those will have to be reviewed, but the environmental phase one that's been done indicates that the property is clean today. It just means that someone's going to have to look at that and be assured as they approve this project that they're comfortable with that. The irregular shapes, and actually when you go out there, you notice that the grade is actually lower. It kind of sits down lower than QT. It kind of sits below grade, I guess, the natural grade. So there'll have to be some filling in. The constructability of this site is obviously more challenging. You have irregular shapes. You almost have very large remnants. And I think when we came and started looking at this from what can the city do, it would be very easy for us to do country club. But as we look at this, my concern is I don't know what's going to happen with some of these irregular shapes in the future. And this may be an opportunity with park and ride. Certainly on the northern piece and the piece behind QT, it may give the park and ride development may be the best option for us to come in and clean up this area and put in a development that can serve this area. My recommendation, if we were to choose the Mesa Drive site, would be to carve out and not purchase the corner piece at Mesa Drive and Baseline. It seems like that at some point in the future, that's a better use for some kind of development than a parking lot. So we would recommend that if council were to choose this site, that we would carve out, and we can negotiate what that would be. I think we're talking possibly 2 acres or so to carve that out, and that would reduce the overall cost. But it does give an opportunity possibly for us to come in and do a irregular shaped infill in this location to develop out at areas that might otherwise not be developed in the long term. And so that's kind of where we're at. It will be more expensive, but it does maybe give us an opportunity to clean it up. At the end of the day,
If we go with Country Club, that's going to be a lot easier for us. We'll get it done quickly. We're confident we can hit all our timelines and be able to move on. And the goal is then to continue to go to the park and ride at Gilbert and the park and ride at Power, so we end up with three. And that's the good news. Three park and rides by the time this is all done. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Dave, now go ahead.
Stay and leverage that to pay.
Have
for,
you
I'll
seen the
that.
Billboards?
I haven't. I mean, I didn't notice. I went down there, but I didn't.
I think it's been the policy, really, and maybe John can speak to this, is when we make those purchases, we bring usually, it's been the practice to bring those down. I don't know what the terms of the lease on that.
There's 2.5 years left on
two and a half
lease.
Years.
And actually, the money that's shown in here is what we would have to pay when we acquired the property, because those billboards are considered lease revenue for 2.5 years, so you pay for that when you buy the property.
But can I ask, same, so are you saying we can't ever do that?
No, I guess the council could choose to leave them up. They would have to, I don't know what John, what the which ordinance is out there they would have to change, but I guess we could leave them up and build around it. What is that, what is the?
Vice Mayor, Council, The city's ordinances require that any time a property is further developed, that any nonconformities on site need to be brought into conformity, and the billboard signs are nonconforming signs.
Okay.
And so the city rules would be that they would come down.
They need to come down. Okay.
All right. Dave, do you have any at this time?
Any other questions? Billboards?
For this?
I don't.
Anything questions? You want to ask right now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The cost estimates on slide 10, you had facility cost estimate for design concept report, and probably should be aired out in this public meeting about how many spaces mm-hmm. are being developed under those two cost scenarios.
There's a big difference.
If you could
get those out.
Because probably should sure. get those out there.
At the Mesa Drive and Baseline, under some scenarios that were submitted, around 600 spaces. At Country Club in Juanita, I believe our design concept had 357 spaces.
So again, the regional demand, expected demand was 257. Time will tell if it'll be different than that, but that was our goal, to get at least 257.
But it's about 50% more spaces, which explains why it's 50% costs more. Yeah. So there's a relationship between, if we were to carve out the 2 acres, they get closer together.
Okay. And if we were to acquire all of the property with the federal funds again, and we carved out the 2 acres and sold those back off,
see, I think
how
the
does
best,
money work
it's
on that?
Better not to, it would be better not to purchase the 2 acres for the federal funds. It would be better to leave that with the current property owner.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Good.
And
we'll come back to Alex. Your turn.
Thank you, sir.
I'm concerned on the environmental notation. The phase one said, hey, you know, that's just, they look at the top of the property. We don't see anything. There's been a historical concerns about groundwater contamination or something. If the city were to purchase that site or use this, are we on the hook then for any eventual cleanup? Or if a subsequent phase two, you know, says, hey, we've got problems here. The big unknown, could it delay the project? Could there be increased costs that we haven't seen? That was one of my concerns, and I have one other question when we get done with that.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Finter, there are some concerns with potential delay for the project. The initial phase one, though, does indicate that the groundwater conditions were mitigated, cleaned up, and the site's clear now. The only issue really probably would be one of timing. And getting through the timing deadlines for the stimulus for the ARRA funding or the CMAC funding. So that's a possibility in that discussion. I think what we would do in any kind of negotiation of sale would be to try to address potential future issues with the contamination if something would come up later as we went through. But the initial phase one shows that the groundwater contamination was mitigated and is the site's clean.
Okay. And then a follow-up, if I could. So this cost comparison that we have as our slide, bottom line, can we take this at face value then, Mr. City Manager? Are we truly going to, you know, the cost differences between the two sites? And then, you know, there's been great, I've gotten a lot of feedback from the community. They really appreciate, just take the fire station. You know, we're getting four fire stations for this, you know, for the price of three. If we're able to take this money and better leverage it and get other park and ride facilities, if we can take this information and show us that we're going to have additional funds to be able to do additional work, that's important to me. So I now realize there's a little bit of difference between spaces. And so what can we as a decision-making body take and say, are we truly getting better bang for our buck to go one step?
I think that if the council were to make a recommendation, for example, the one that is higher, obviously, is Mesa Drive. And it, again, remember, it's almost it's 7.9 versus 7.7 acres. So there's already a difference just in the size. And as we talked about, the difference of 600 parking spaces versus, what, 350, 360. So what, and again, but if we were to recommend, if we were to go back to the property owners and say, we'd like to leave 2 acres out of the purchase, that's going to bring, we're thinking maybe it's $1 million savings or so that we would not have to use for the purchase of this, of the Mesa Drive site. So I get, you can see where that increases our savings by another $1 million. And I guess if I was recommending going forward, Country Club, I'd recommend that we move forward with the entire, all the acres. If it's Mesa Drive, I'd ask the council give us two direction to move forward, except for the 2 acres on the corner. At least 2 acres. We could sit down. I mean, we need to talk with the property owner about what that would actually size would be, but that would be the general recommendation we'd give or ask.
All right. Dennis, you're next.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I noticed on our study session agenda today we had the Transportation Advisory Board minutes from March 17th. We've also had an opportunity to look at the April meeting minutes. And at both of those meetings, our staff recommended approval of Site 6, the Country Club site. And one of the elements you talked about was regional transportation issues. Again, can you highlight for me, because you didn't mention it earlier, what are the issues in terms of regional transportation between these two sites?
I can answer that. There's a couple differences between the sites. At Mesa, both sites work well for the express buses, whether they're coming down Baseline or they're coming down the 60. As far as express bus, the park and rides will both work well. The Mesa Drive will serve local bus service northbound only, whereas the Country Club site will serve local bus service north and southbound, as well as our Arizona Avenue Country Club BRT, our link service, which will be coming on a year from now. So that's an advantage for that site from a transportation perspective.
And again, Vice Mayor, just as a follow-up question, in terms of regional cooperation with other communities, again, which site is preferable?
Well, we've been working with the cities of Chandler and the town of Gilbert on developing a link system. We've actually located our stops to be in the proximity of this park and ride at Country Club so that we can get multi-use benefit out of this park and ride facility if it was to go at this site. So, you know, RPTA is actually the lead agency in that design and construction project, but there has been quite a bit of coordination on that future service.
All right, thank you. All right, Dina.
I'm having a hard time understanding why we didn't actually put a cost comparison where we were comparing the same amount of parking spaces. Is there a reason why? I mean, I would think it's really easy to say, hey, I want 350 spots, give me a cost for that, rather than, well, you know, this is 600, this is 350. I mean, it's just so vague. Is it hard to do that? I don't know.
Well, you can say you can do the division. You can take the 600 spaces, or the 8 million divided by the 600 spaces. I think you get somewhere around $13,000 a space. And you can take, that's Mesa Drive. And Country Club, you can take the 5.7 million divided by the 357 and get about $16,000.
Exactly. It's really easy. So I don't understand why we didn't put it in an easy format. So that we could actually look at comparing.
Well, remember, though, we may recommend, what we're recommending, though, is not the entire Mesa Drive site. So it may not be 600 spaces. It could be less than that.
I don't understand why we weren't able to clearly to show that, to compare the two. Rather,
it is in our backup information.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, it's very easy on a rectangular lot to kind of identify the number. The irregular shape of Mesa Drive and baseline, and really what we have today is just a conceptual design. We don't have a hard design yet to really give you a firm number, so I was a little uncomfortable doing that.
So there's more to that design. So we couldn't just roughly throw numbers and divide.
And they both meet our minimum number of what we're looking for.
The other question I have is I had a briefing on site 5, but I never got a scheduled briefing on site 6, so I don't feel comfortable. Like, you know, when you're sitting down, you can really go through all the nitpicky things you want to ask about. So, like, today I would not be comfortable moving ahead with any recommendation because I haven't actually talked and got a full sit-down to discuss site 6. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Summers, Scott?
Just before it ends up in the press that it's $14,000 a site, the backup information has around, for some one configuration, $5,200 per parking space, and for the 354 spaces that would be at Country Club, it's $9,166. So it's about half of what the city manager tried to do just off the top of his head. Thank you for the effort.
Well, I'm wondering if you're using land value or land and improvements. I'm using
That's the number we've been given, so I'm calling that one official, which is a heck of a lot cheaper than what they sold one in Boston for $350,000. I don't know if you saw that on the news the other day. But
you don't want to be different
than I am having some questions about the math, man. Mesa Drive and baseline. Is 7.91 acres. Juanita's side is 7.08, so we'll round it up, say it's 9/10 of an acre difference. But we're looking at a difference in from 350 parking spaces to 700. Does the Mesa Drive right away impact the design that much that we can, for a matter of less than an acre, fit almost twice the number of parking spaces?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, again, there's some issue on the Mesa Drive and baseline site. I think some of the number of stalls probably overstated. They're taking into consideration 42 stalls that would be located along Old Mesa Drive, which we don't anticipate moving forward on. In addition, we don't know that all the retention has been taken care of on site. That would eliminate some stalls. There's landscaping requirements and things that are going to eliminate more of those stalls. So I think that number is overstated. It's hard, again, for us to define exactly the number of stalls. It'll be significantly less than they stated, but more than we could fit in at Country Club and Juanita. Again, I'd go back to the expected demand, and it's just that, 257. You know, if we build it for 500 stalls and we have 250 or 300, we have 200 stalls sitting there. So I'd very much like to consider the unit cost per stall, but it's important that we meet the demand and just decide what we can afford and which site works better.
At the end of the day, that's why we gave you the per square foot number and not the per space number. Which and just to make sure you know the city manager understands numbers. The number you have is on land
it,
only.
It was.
Doesn't include the improvements. So the city manager wanted you to give you the full picture.
I would have probably come up with $30,000 a space, so you did better than I would.
That's why we want to give you the per square foot acre of the land, and that's why you have the $10. And so at the end of the day, it's 50 cents per square foot difference. And I think when we looked at that overall, what does that add up?
$22,000 an acre.
An acre difference.
$44,000.
So between the, at $10.50 a square foot, I think you can see that falls under the Mesa Drive option. And that's their best and final offers to us. Is what they've given to us. And I know there's been a lot of interest in trying to convince us which site's the best. And frankly, at this point, my interest is price. So the best price for me is what makes it work. And then we start there, and that's where Country Club comes ahead. But then we look at the long-term perspective of, you know, what do you do with those remnant pieces? And that's where we've kind of gone back and forth. They both work, but what do you do with the remnant pieces?
All right. Do you have another question, Dina?
Well, I was just going to say remnant pieces. We've been very successful out in District 5. Amazing on these little triangles that they put in whole shopping centers with clubs and restaurant clubs, as in health clubs. And you're amazed at how much stuff they can pack on something you thought was useless land. So I've been very happy over the years seeing how the city's planning department has been able to work with people and put amazing amounts of stuff on what once looked like totally useless land. So I'm not overly concerned that we, because that's enough acreage similar to other things we've done. So
Okay. Just
share what, John Wesley, you rock in your department and you're doing a good job.
Okay, at this point, I want to bring up Brian Jungworth from Valley Metro RPTA to give us their perspective, because this heavily involves RPTA of what we're doing. So we've got just a few minutes, Brian, to give us the perspective from the RPTA.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I won't take too long. Appreciate Councilman Kavanaugh's question to Mr. James. My name again is Brian Jungworth. I'm the Chief of Staff with Valley Metro RPTA. And speaking on behalf of some of the regional transit issues, Mike talked a little bit about the Mesa BRT service called the Link that we're going to put in there on Country Club and Arizona Avenue. And from our point of view, the Country Club Juanita site is preferred. It can be served by three different services, which is the local, the 112 route that exists today. It can be served by express bus and then also the BRT service that will come online, whereas the Mesa Drive route, we will not deviate the BRT service over to Mesa Drive. And we see this as an important deal because a lot of commuters can come and access that park and ride, then catch the BRT service, which could then bring them to the end of the light rail line at Sycamore and Main. We've heard some degree of capacity utilization at that park and ride, especially during like baseball games and so forth. So it could, you know, decrease the need for the city at some point to expand that existing park and ride at the end of the light rail line, because people would have the opportunity to come to the park and ride lot at Juanita and then take the BRT service and feed it and so forth. And with the headways and the service that we have on the BRT line, that I think that's pretty important. The other thing the councilman asked about is a little bit about from regional transit is, what do the other cities think? And one of the things that we did when we planned this BRT line is we talked to Gilbert, and you know, under Prop 400 there was a lot of jurisdictional equity for each of the communities. And Gilbert, if you ran out the numbers, they would have been due like two bus stops on this route. We convinced them to go to one bus stop at St. Angelo that serves their citizens a little bit better. Given the spacing of the different park and rides, assuming that park and ride at Juanita would come online. So Gilbert agreed to that, because what they have an industrial park at Baseline on the southeast corner, Baseline and Country Club, and they're trying to make that more pedestrian friendly. They see the park and ride as a place that people could come in and potentially then get into that site, into that industrial complex and help feed it. So from their point of view, I think that they accepted the one stop instead of two, with the understanding that the park and ride would be there and it would help their citizens. So from a regional transit point of view, as I think Mr. Clevenger stated, the park and rides are pretty equidistant. There might be a little bit less operating costs out of the Country Club site, but it's probably a toss-up. I understand it's a tough decision. There's pros and cons to each site, but at least from our point of view, how we plan the station spacing and what would work best for the north-south BRT link service, we would prefer the site on Juanita.
Brian, why don't you show them where the site is, though, where you get on the bus? Because when I first heard that, I assumed a lot of the access was directly on the site, but it's not. It isn't. Show them where they would have to walk to the link.
Where does the link stop?
Oh. Right at Juanita.
Yeah. Vice Mayor, Council, I would expect the link bus stop to be northbound on the far side of Juanita, so it would be up here near Empire Machinery.
And
so
right in the
southbound would be here on far side again.
There's just been, when that statement's been made, there's been some confusion that it's not necessarily inside the typical park and ride facility. It's not inside the parking. It's actually out on Country Club. And I just want to clarify, because I've had some people have gotten presentations from staff think that, oh, the assumption was that the that would be the same bus would be going inside the red for those stops. It's not necessarily true. I mean, it's not a far walk. You'd have to walk to Country Club to get to it.
Okay, the question then is, will any buses be going into the park and ride, or are you going to do all your loading and unloading out on Country Club?
Just for certain, go ahead.
The express buses will come into the site. It was our intention for the link and the local will stay on street.
Okay. And for the sake of those following along at home and keeping with what Mayor Smith likes to do, let's avoid acronyms or at least clarify acronyms. So BRT is Bus Rapid Transit. Yes. And RPTA is?
The Regional Public Transportation Authority.
There we go. Okay.
Thank
you.
Do you
still have
much.
A question?
Yes, but I'm giggling right now, so I'm trying to remember what it was. That was a good one. He's channeling the mayor, which is good. The I guess the question is, we're the BRT, which is the link, which is the rapid transit bus that hooks up to light rail. It's light rail on wheels is how it's been sold in some circles or talked about. Why would it not come into the site? One of the crowning jewels, I think, of the system is Superstition Springs Bus Transit Center, which is continuing under construction. But buses serve that area. All the buses drive into that site, including the BRT. It's currently end of line. I understand that. But at some point, I've been pushing to have the BRT extended down to the airport. So it won't be end of line forever. So why would we not drive the link through this, or is it a possibility to drive it through this, or are we done with the design phase? We can make it more convenient for so people don't have to walk across six lanes of traffic. It's all one question in 14 parts.
Okay. Vice Mayor, Councilman Summers, the real reason is for speed. We do not want to deviate the route at all. Part of the sales job on link service is limited stops. We're looking at 3/4 to mile stops on the route. Real quick speed, so like you said, it would mimic light rail and it would get people from the south end of the valley up to feed the light rail station, and that's the traction of it all. So if we start deviating the buses into the park and ride, we slow everybody down and so forth. So that's why we want to keep it on the street.
Who do you think is going to be the primary customer of this particular site? Would it be local bus rider, the express bus rider, or the link bus rider, or all three equally, or how do you see this balancing out if along a regional line?
Go ahead, Mike.
I see first and foremost the express bus riders using this, and then secondly, students and commuters to work on the link, not so much the local bus riders.
Is it possible to quantify or at least guesstimate how many per day, how many cars you think will park there that would be link riders as opposed to express riders?
That's a real hard one, but what we're finding with the link that's serving the Sycamore Transit Center today is it's a real mix. We're getting a lot of people out doing day trips. Our true peak, you know, it's not as many, you know, early morning commuters as you like. We'd normally see, but we're seeing a greater number of later trips associated with ASU. So 9, 10, 11 o'clock, we're getting a lot of trips on the link. So we're actually seeing a lot of use related to ASU.
So it's hard to tell, but it's some number greater than zero. Which, if it's on, well, the point is, though, if it's on Mesa Drive, how many people are going to park there to use BRT? Would there be a connection to BRT from Mesa Drive site?
There is no connection.
So it's more than zero on Country Club. Could be one, could be 257. We don't know. But if it's on Mesa Drive, then BRT is irrelevant.
And Mayor and Council, let me just remind you, we don't plan, with this park and ride, we're not adding any more routes or any more buses. We'll maybe redirecting locals to these areas so that instead of parking in retail centers, they would come here instead. But
we, City of Mesa, we are PTA.
City of Mesa is the one that's our cost, so we're not planning on adding additional routes to add to this. This is really a redirection of what we currently have.
I think I could add a little bit that would make this make sense. There's a 531 Express that runs out of downtown Gilbert up through Mesa to Mesa Drive now and into downtown Phoenix. We could actually take that route up Gilbert Road from downtown Gilbert along Baseline to either one of these two sites, pick up the path express passengers, then get right on the 60. It'll be a real efficient route, much more efficient than it is today. And that's 8 a.m. trips, 7 p.m. trips that we can, as soon as we build this facility, we can start operating. So we think we're going to have some good ridership because of those 15 trips per day.
Okay, looking at the cost aspect, ease of construction and all that, the country club site looks better, but my concern, as we said, there's good and bad about both sites. My concern about country club is, and Dan, help me on this one, I drive down country club quite a bit, and it's already a very problematic pass-through when you're trying to drive through that stretch of the 60 and Baseline. And adding buses, adding more traffic in there is a real concern for me.
Okay. Vice Mayor, it is for me too. If you look at the MAG's projected counts in the future, Mesa Drive and Country Club are virtually identical in the future.
In the future?
Yes. Today, Country Club's higher, but Mesa Drive's going to catch up. And so that becomes probably a non-issue because they'll be very similar.
Yeah, fascinating, because I don't see that much more development happening on Mesa Drive, but I guess it will.
It's not just the development in Mesa, it's continuing development.
Well, continuing
to the south.
Correct. What's coming up. Dennis?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a question on timing, either for Mike or for Chris. With our obligation to get the federal funds, what is the timing for us to take action? Is it we need to take action by July 1? Is that correct? Or today, I guess.
The first milestone that we really need to meet, we need to have our environmental clearance in place by mid-September to give to the City of Phoenix, who is the federal grant overseer. We'll have 2 weeks to make sure that all our paperwork is in line, and they submit that to the FTA on October 1st, as I understand it. So we really need to move forward to get our environmental clearance. That's the key point for us right now.
Thank you. I was reading can someone tell me what the ALTA survey is? What does ALTA stand for?
It's a land survey, basically. It's a boundary survey. And what an ALTA does is you get an ALTA survey generally when you're acquiring property, and it tells you what encumbrances are on the land, such as easements, right-of-way, those types of things.
Okay. And so the one letter that's from, excuse me, Withy Morris that has like 7 or 8 items, are those items that came from our board and their recommendations? Have a peek.
It's the letter for the best.
Because it looks like it's like sectioned out of another report, and I'm not certain of that.
Oh, these items?
Yep.
Those are out of the consultant's DCR.
I think this is just their response to our best and final offer. This is what they submitted. I believe that's what this looks like when I remember.
I think what they were doing was trying to identify the advantages for their site in their best and final offer, and they were taking some of this out of the what we call the design concept report that the consultant prepared when we were doing our site evaluations.
And then the ALTA survey is included in here too? Some verbiage from that, or?
I don't know that.
Or was it a separate thing attached to this?
They submitted an ALTA survey.
Yes, the ALTA survey was attached.
It's
and
a pretty
it was separate.
Big,
large
huge thing.
Yeah, it's an ALTA survey looks like this. This is an ALTA survey for one of the sites.
Okay,
it's
so
three large sheets that, and it tells me everything that they know has happened on this site in terms of what land encumbrances exist, and the billboards are shown, and those types of things.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
Vice Mayor, if you're so inclined to move the process along, I would be in support of moving forward with the Country Club site for a number of reasons. While I am very intrigued with the idea of using Mesa Drive and using a piece of property that certainly may be difficult to use, I think there are a number of advantages to Country Club. It lacks the encumbrances of the Mesa site. The cost is 50 cents per square foot less. Those savings can be transferred easier to getting more bang for our buck, if you will, having a third site constructed, and also, as has been testified by Brian from Regional Public RPTA, Regional Public Transportation Authority. See, I have to do the acronym first before I can get through it. It is the preferred regional site, and it really, we do want this to be a regional transit system. So I would suggest we move forward based on the decision of this council with the Country Club site.
All right. Further discussion? Councilman Richens?
What are the ramifications of not doing this project at all? I mean, do we really have to have this?
We just lose the $9 million, and we probably won't be able to complete the other two parking rides for right now.
Okay. We have a motion and second, and I heard other comments down the line. And if, again, I don't have heartburn over either one. We're looking at what's best for the city in the long term. We're looking at cost issues. I understand the irregularity of Site 5 and the challenges it's going to have. But in the end, we're looking at cost, utilization, and have to take all of that into consideration. And it sounds as though we have support for Site 6, and we'll find that out in a vote if there's no further question or discussion. Do we need a motion or just consensus?
Legally, you don't have to have a motion, but there has been a motion made and a second. So unless it's withdrawn, you should go ahead and vote.
Well, I believe I've heard a third and a fourth, so I guess the vote's taken. So all those in favor for Site 6, go indicate.
Aye.
Any opposed? I heard four ayes, and two doesn't really
care
a whole much. So.
Get it done.
An official vote.
All right, we'll be moving forward then to get the contract together and bring it onto the July 1st council agenda. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Then let's move on to acknowledgement and receipt of minutes of boards. We have several of them. We have a motion. We have a second. We have a second. Councilman Vinter was the second for us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
They're not used to being able to second that.
Yeah.
It's
usually. Okay, hear reports of meetings or conferences attended. Go ahead, Scott.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I had the pleasure of attending the National League of Cities. I was appointed to the Finance Administration Intergovernmental Relations Committee. We had a meeting discussed a national agenda, one of which is the upcoming census in 2010. It's very important that we get the count out and folks get counted. Our revenues to the city are based in large part on population. Population growth is extremely important, and we need to start getting that message out that next year is the year to count. Also, I know that the census is looking for employees, so if anybody's looking for a job, now might be a good time to check in with the Census Bureau. We could sure use the counters in Mesa. Also, we're doing some work on the stimulus package as well as bond ratings for cities and insurance, because as you, Vice Mayor, may be aware that the insurance for some municipal bonds in this current market is not there. Fortunately, thanks to our city manager and our budget folks, our bond rating in Mesa is pretty high, so we don't have this problem, but other cities do, and it makes it difficult to borrow money in the form of bonds in order to build police stations, fire stations, do road improvements. This will be a not-for-profit agency run by NLC to help with some of that bond insurance for some cities. So
We're not using it now, but some cities in Arizona will be using it, so it's really interesting work going on.
Okay. Dennis?
I also attended a National League of Cities committee meeting this past weekend, Information Technology and Communications Committee, and we spent a fair amount of time talking about the digital conversion that took place last week. That committee has been very involved in the federal policy on that issue, and a number of communities across the country are having affairs or community events for people to drop off their very old televisions that are not usable anymore and cannot be converted. And I can certainly vow that I have a 32-year-old television that I'd be glad to lead the way in contributing to that.
Buy a new one in Mesa.
And I bought this one in Mesa 32 years ago. The other important work that the committee is looking at, particularly this year, has to deal with broadband issues. And in the stimulus package, there will be three rounds of grants for communities and states to apply for broadband infrastructure monies. And our committee has submitted comments to federal agencies on behalf of local governments in terms of the issues that they should consider. And this is going to be a continuing effort. The new administration has appointed a technology czar that actually has reached out to local governments in this effort. And they are looking at broadband as infrastructure in the same way as roads and sewer and water in terms of importance to communities. And at least some of the broadband grants that are available now are encouraging communities to create a network or a spine of broadband between community hubs or community anchors, such as hospitals and schools and governmental entities and other major employers. And so this committee will continue its work there, and I hope that we as a city and a state will look at opportunities for expanding the broadband capacity that we have in our community. Thank you.
Okay. Dina?
excuse me. Last week I visited Mission of Mercy, which it has a free clinic here in Mesa at Christ the King Church every Thursday. They're a nonprofit organization, and they offer four free health clinics around the valley. So if you want to get more information, you can go to missionofmercy.com. I'm not sure. I would Google it if I were you. But amazing organization. It's a free clinic. So if you run into people that are having issues, you can send them to Christ the King on Thursday, and hopefully they can help them out there. Also, I would like to congratulate Alexis Flake, who is Arizona's American Junior Miss, and she will be competing for America's Junior Miss title, national title, on Saturday, June 27th, and the finals are live at 5 p.m., and you can watch them on NBC15Online.com, which I'm going to have on my website. Alexis Flake is one of my lovely District 5 residents, and she's competing on national level, which is great for Mesa and great for Arizona. And one third thing, I just want to welcome my sister Renee and her two kids who are watching from my parents' house down the street, Gina and Daniel, who are visiting from Walla Walla, Washington, their second time in Arizona. So I told them I'd say hi if they promised to get up at 7:30 and watch the study session.
All right, thank you. Tuesday evening, I went out to Gilbert to participate, to watch the swearing-in of their new mayor and two council members. Mayor John Lewis will be a great addition out there in Gilbert, and the two council members. I think I already reported, but we'd like to take an active role in National League of Cities, and as you saw, Councilmember Summers is on the Fair Committee. Councilmember Kavanaugh is on the IT. What's the full name of it? No acronyms.
Information Technology and Communications.
And then Dave?
Community and Economic Development Steering Committee.
And I am on the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Steering Committee. And Dina?
Energy, Environment, and Natural Resource Committee.
So we're well represented on the national level for these things. And we periodically go to committee meetings and have some interesting discussions and advocate for the needs we have and try and work together with those from all around the country.
Yep.
With that,
One more
Dina?
Thing. Yeah, sorry. I attended the Arizona League of Cities and Towns orientation for new newly elected officials, and I shared with them things learned in my first year in office, and we had a wonderful time. And they're doing a great job at, don't answer the phone, they're doing a great job at educating and helping newly elected officials hit the ground running. So it was a lot of fun.
And actually, as I spoke with new council members out in Gilbert, they did mention they met Councilmember Higgins at the League of Cities training and were very complimentary. All right, Chris.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder, we do have a study session council meeting on Monday, June 22nd. We will have an early start. We have a couple of items that need to be covered in the study session. At least one in executive session and another one. So it'll probably be a 3:30 or 4 p.m. start. So please check your agendas when you get them later this afternoon. And then we'll have another study session on June 25th. And then our final two council meetings for before the break will be Wednesday, July 1st and Wednesday, July 8th. And then we will break until August 20th.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any items from citizens present? And with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved. Second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Everybody have a great day.